This is Central Time. I'm Rob Farah.
And I'm Veronica Rickert.
Week one of the Paris Climate Conference is coming to a close. While President Obama has returned to Washington, his administration will continue working through next week to try to reach a global agreement on cutting carbon emissions.
The largest component of President Obama's climate action plan, what he's offering to foreign leaders to show his commitment, is the Clean Power Plan. The EPA released the plan earlier this year, setting targets for each state in the country to reduce carbon emissions by the year 2030.
Here in Wisconsin, the goal is to reduce emissions to 34% below their 2012 levels. In response, two dozen states, including Wisconsin, have filed suit in a pending case to block the regulations. Here with us to make the argument as to why the Clean Power Plan should be dropped is Brett Healy, president of the MacGyver Institute. Brett, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me on.
Well, what's the crux of your case against the Clean Power Plan and these targets for Wisconsin and all the other states?
Well, I think what you're seeing here is an underhanded attempt by the president and faceless bureaucrats to fundamentally change the American way of life. And remember that back in 2010, the president tried to pass cap and trade through Congress when his party had large majorities in each house, and he was unable to convince members of his own parties of his own party to do this. So what we're seeing now, unfortunately, is an underhanded attempt to, through the rules process, to impose this on the American people.
And how would you see this affecting Wisconsin in particular, where we rely on coal a lot, more than many other states, for our energy or for our electricity?
Well, the impact here in Wisconsin will be quite traumatic. As you pointed out, Wisconsin is a coal-dependent state, so these regulations would hit us harder than most other states. The analysis that we ran under the draft rule, so this isn't our numbers only reflect the original draft goal of 30% reduction, not the 32% reduction in the final rule, but that analysis alone showed by 2030, residential electric rates would be $225 higher than they are now. The average business would pay over $1,500 more for their electric bill. And here's the staggering one. Manufacturing businesses, which are obviously very, very dependent on electricity to produce their product, their electric bills would be up over $100,000 a year by 2030 if this rule goes through. We also, our analysis using a modeling analysis showed that we would lose over 21,000 jobs in Wisconsin because of the higher cost to businesses, and almost $2 billion in disposable income would be taken out of the economy as people are required to pay more and more for their electric bills.
One of the ideas of this rule, is that the coal electricity will be replaced by natural gas and renewables in particular, and that this will be a stimulus that'll help renewable energy production get more efficient, work on a wider scale, become more cost effective. Does your projection take that into effect?
No, our projection looks at strictly replacing coal plants here in Wisconsin with other forms. And what you're talking about would be good if it was market driven. The problem here is that with the government imposing these regulations, unelected bureaucrats imposing these regulations on our economy, it's going to have a dramatic impact on Wisconsinites. And this economy, I'm not sure of any Wisconsinites who would want to pay $200 to $250 more for their electric bill.
There are growing warnings from the scientific community around the world about the impact of climate change led by CO2 emissions, many of them from coal-powered electric plants. Do we need to weigh those costs, the risks that go along with those costs, against the costs you're talking about to the modern-day economy?
And I think that should be part of the debate. And I think that's what we should be doing at this point, is having a debate led by the president, who feels so strongly about this issue, about whether or not this is the right direction for our country. And then if he believes the American people support him in this effort, then he should introduce another bill and try and pass it through Congress. But the big problem here is the backhanded attempt to use the rules process and then to have this fight in the courts on whether or not his administration is overstepping its bounds. And the problem is that once we go down this road, the judicial system does not work in a very timely fashion, and a lot of these utilities will need to make decisions about capital outlays now if they think this rule is going to stick. And even if down the road the judicial system steps in and says, President Obama, you overstepped your bounds, this rule is null and void, a lot of the decisions will have already been made at the local level to implement this costly plan. And once you start heading down that road, there's going to be no way for utilities to change course, and consumers are going to be stuck with the higher electricity rates.
Talking to Brett Healy, president of the MacIver Institute, about the EPA Clean Power Plan requiring setting targets for states to reduce carbon emissions from power plants, from electrical plants. You're talking about the impact on the economy. People look at coal as a cheap source of electricity. A Harvard Medical School study back in 2011 looked at externalities, other costs of coal, putting an annual cost to the United States between $330 and $500 billion. Things like the impact of pollution, impacts on health, that sort of thing. Is coal really as cheap as we think it is?
Well, I think for the consumer, it certainly is the least expensive and most reliable form of electricity. Keep in mind, too, right, that renewables are not all that reliable at this point. I don't have any doubt in the future that through innovation and the markets, we will figure out a solution on how to store wind and solar power. But right now, we just don't have that capability. And also, Wisconsin, on its own, a few years back, decided that it would pursue clean coal technology, and it was through those efforts and over $11 billion spent by the industry and they spent that money to reduce carbon dioxide output here in Wisconsin. And between 2005 and 2012, we reduced carbon dioxide by 15%. So this idea that we need the federal government to impose a top-down, one-size-fits-all rule on every state to push us this in this direction is wrong. Wisconsin actually is an example of what can be done at the local level to make progress in this area.
We're hearing arguments in Paris now that the clock is ticking. We need to do more. We need to take more drastic action. And quickly, you point out that the court process is fairly slow. Also, the congressional process is pretty slow, too. Does that justify some sort of more drastic action like this clean power plan from the White House?
Well, and the biggest problem with that idea, I would argue, is that if you look at the EPA's own modeling, they estimate that once fully implemented, the Clean Power Plan would lower temperature in the United States by 0.02 Celsius. So even if we fully implement all of these new regulations and dramatically change our way of life, by 2100, we're still only going to see a very minuscule change in the temperature. So I think the question remains, is this really the best direction for the country, and is it worth the cost to the American public?
As we wrap up, do you think there is a good way to tackle reducing carbon emissions? What would you like to see instead of this clean power plan?
Well, I think just having the debate and having the conversation, if the American public believes that this is a change that they want, they will ask their elected representatives to do this. And as I mentioned earlier, back in 2010, the president couldn't convince members of his own party that this was the right thing to do in Congress. So I would much rather see us continue to have this debate, have the president talk directly to the American people and try and convince them that this is the right decision for the country.
Brett, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's Brett Healy. He's president of the MacGyver Institute. He wrote an op-ed in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel saying, stand up to the Obama carbon rule. Climate talks will continue in Paris through next week.
I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network.